This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Fantastic Four number 166, published October 28, 1975. The cover of the issue shows the four members of the team falling from the sky after their aircraft has been demolished by a tree trunk thrown by the Incredible Hulk. Now, the members of the team, Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, Sue Storm Richards, his wife, the Invisible Girl, the Mighty Thing, and the Human Torch are all coming to do battle with the Hulk. The Human Torch says, "It's the Hulk. He's smashed our ship." The Thing says, "Yeah, well, wait till you see what I do to him." The caption below says, "Not just another Thing versus Hulk battle. You'll gasp at our shock ending." The first page has the introduction, a brilliant scientist, his best friend, the woman he loves, and her fiery kid brother. Together, they've braved the unknown terrors of outer space and were changed by cosmic rays into something more than merely human. Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, his wife, the Invisible Girl, Sue Storm Richards, the Mighty Thing, Ben Grimm, Sue's brother, the Human Torch, Johnny Storm. Now they are the Fantastic Four, and the world will never be the same. Stan Lee presents the Fantastic Four. This issue's title, "If It's Tuesday, This Must Be the Hulk." This issue is written by Roy Thomas. The artist is George Perez. The inker is Vince Coletta. The colorist is Phil Raish, and the letterer is Joe Rosen. Now, the Fantastic Four are in the lounge area of a large 747. There's a couple with them in that room, and they have a small child about 6 years old with them. Now, the couple is on a couch, and they're rather romantic. And the four members of the team are in civilian clothes, as they are in a passenger jet, along with a bunch of other regular passengers. Now, the Thing isn't happy with this couple and their child in the lounge area while they're trying to have a serious conversation.
"Listen, you two, why don't you go make like lovebirds someplace else? It's a big plane. In case you didn't notice, we're the Fantastic Four, and we ain't confabbing back here because we like the sound of our own lovely voices. Whoa, take it easy, big fella. This isn't our own private plane, you know," says his friend and leader, Reed Richards. Reed's wife, Sue, says, "Reed's right, Ben. There's no excuse for bad manners." Her brother, Johnny, also chimes in with, "With bashful Benji, Sue, there's no alternative for him either."
"All the same, you wouldn't be some kind of spy, would you?"
And Ben goes to the man on the couch with the lady and pulls him up with just one finger underneath his chin up off the ground. And he continues saying,
"'Cause if I can do this with nothing but one finger, imagine what I could do if I figured you was a—"
The man is scared and sweating. Now, his lady is not happy about this and says,
"'You leave him alone, you beast, or maybe you'd like to take me on. Just to prove what a big, rugged he-man you are."
"Huh?"
"Let's go, Ralph. You too, Junior, before he starts beating on his chest like a bull gorilla."
And the little kid goes, "Nyeh."
"Look, folks, I was only—"
Then the Thing moves over to a chair and slunks his head down and clasps his hands together, looking rather dejected and thinking to himself,
"Who am I kidding? They're right. I'm just in a bad mood because I had a date with Alicia, and then this call came in from Washington, and—"
Suddenly, a plate of cupcakes shows up under his chin, and he thinks,
"Hotcha! Pastries!" and that means a stewardess on the other end of him. So he closes his eyes and turns his head towards the person holding the cupcakes. Hey, honey, how'd you like to say you kissed a real live superstar?
I'd love to, sir, but I never let anyone call me honey till the second date.
The thing opens his eyes and is shocked to see a man holding the cupcakes.
Aw, for cripe's sake, a male stew. What's the world coming to anyhow?
Johnny, finding this funny, and says, I know what's really getting to you, Ben, and we're too busy all the time to lead normal lives like everybody else. Take me. I have one date with this great chick named Frankie. Then she finds out I'm some kind of freak, and I'm back on the shelf.
Sue, his sister, comes to talk to Johnny, who's sitting on the couch.
I understand your problem, Johnny, and I...
How can you, sis? You and Reed have each other, and little Franklin, too. What have I got when I'm not setting fire to New York? Maybe it's time I quit the FF, went out on my own. Maybe we should all give it up. Let the Avengers and those 37 other supergroups do all the world-saving for a while.
Sue says,
Don't even think that, Johnny. We were the first of them all, and we're still the best.
Reed says,
Or more to the point, Sue, that's why we're flying out to the Middle West to prove.
Okay, boss man, it's out in the open now. What in the blazes are we here for?
I'll show you, Johnny. It concerns the Psi amplifier.
Huh? Now, just hold on a doggone minute, Stretch. Ain't that the gizmo you dreamed up a while back, the one Bruce Banner and me tried to use to stop him from turning into the Hulk? Only it backed up on us, and I ended up with the Hulk's brain and him with mine. Because if it is, then whatever you got in mind, count me out.
Don't be too hasty, old buddy. Remember, you and Dr. Banner put it into operation on your own before I had perfected it.
Sue says, Reed, that small thing is the Psi amplifier?
The miniaturization was the final step, Sue. Now at last, the machine is truly ready.
Ready for what, darling? And why in Nebraska, of all places?
The authorities have been hushing this up, people. But the Hulk's been on a rampage in this general area. If I can use my mental power hooked up to the Psi-Ami, as I call it, I can fix it so that Dr. Bruce Banner may never again become the mindless, monstrous Hulk. Of course, there is one small problem.
Johnny says, Yeah, as the saying goes, first catch the rabbit, or in this case, the Hulk.
Me, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm getting fed up with chasing that big green cheese over hill and dale every time the military's tail is in a ringer. After all, what's old J-Jaws ever done to yours truly? When we wasn't bugging him anyhow.
And the panel shows outside of the jet, and through the clouds, a dark figure is approaching the aircraft. Cut back to Reed, and Reed says,
That's not the point, Ben. This is for everyone's good, even the Hulk's, and you know it.
And we cut back to outside the plane, and we see that that figure is the Hulk, and he's getting closer. Cut back to inside and see Sue saying,
But Reed, how do you know we'll ever be able to find the Hulk this time?
And the Hulk has almost reached the plane.
The caption says, Don't call us, Sue. We'll call you.
The Hulk has snapped the right wing off of the aircraft in mid-flight.
Hulk responds,
Huh? What was that? Hulk thought he felt something like a gnat hitting Hulk's skin. Ha! It was just one of the puny humans' planes. Nothing that could hurt Hulk.
The same, alas, cannot be said for an aircraft, not even a massive 747. Inside the plane, everything is chaos. The thing says,
What in the name of Ampetunia?
Reed goes, Everybody, grab onto something, something solid. And as the Hulk continues to fall out of the sky, The caption says, "Thus, even as a already forgetful Hulk drops earthward, pandemonium runs rampant aboard Flight 103, and the passengers are all yelling and screaming and going, 'Out of my way!' And a woman goes, 'Help me! Oh my God, help me!' Reed shouts commands, 'Stewardess, flight attendant, get those people back in their seats any way you can. We'll pull the plane out of this spin, I swear it. All right, you three, are you ready?' Johnny holds up his finger, already aflame, saying, 'Ready, leader man.' And he grasps Sue's shoulder and looks deeply into her eye, going, 'Sue, this is your big test. Think you're up to it?'
'I am, Reed. I've got to be.'
'Hey, pal, what about me?'
'Do what you can back here, Ben. The rest of you have things to do. Johnny, first, we need a hole burned in the side of the plane.'
'Coming right up, brother-in-law, one donut hole.'
The thing is behind them all, thinking to himself, 'Useless. I'm just plain useless.' Reed continues to give commands. 'Good work, Johnny. Your flames have almost eaten through the metal. Are you ready, Sue? This will take split-second timing.'
'I'm ready.'
'Then, Johnny, here we go.' The next moment, the final layer of steel dissolves beneath Johnny Storm's strictly controlled, carefully directed heat blast. And almost instantaneously, a human torch rockets from the plummeting fuselage, while a desperately straining Mr. Fantastic arcs from the plane as if shot from some silent cannon. And inside, the thing is not strapped in or holding on to anything and falls up against the side of the inside of the airplane.
What a revolting development this is!
And Sue, using her force field to cover the hole that Johnny made in the side of the plane.
Ben, are you all right? I've got to keep this hole sealed with my mental force field, or else we'll all be sucked through it like water through a straw. But the strain, it's almost unbearable. My head feels like it's about to split. The pressure.
You can do it, Susie gal. Like you said, you gotta.
And he thinks back to himself.
And me, all I can do is be a one-man rootin' section.
The captions continue with, "Then get ready with the pom-poms, Mr. Grimm, for the torch can use all the help he can get as his red-hot hands strive to weld the wing to keep the plane's weight balanced." And if what Reed Richards has in mind isn't precisely clear yet, it will be in a second. And Reed, whose ability is to stretch to impossible stretching distance, has gone out the window with Johnny and, using his ability, has wrapped his body, his arms, his legs, and his body around the tail of the plane. It's more stress than he's ever had before, and he emits an involuntary spasmodic yell of tension and pain. The captions continue with, "Can a man with penultimate elasticity, born amid a cosmic ray storm in outer space, slow down a multi-ton jet aircraft sufficiently to stop it from splattering all over the Midwestern countryside?" The answer, maybe. Just maybe. And Johnny, still holding up the right wing, says to Reed, who has now ballooned himself behind the aircraft as a parachute to slow down the plane, which is diving at a 45-degree angle towards the ground. He is slowing it down, and the human torch is keeping it balanced on the right side. He says,
"You're doing it, Reed. Now, if only my flame power can equal the jet thrust on the other side to stop this baby from quivering so much, we're in luck. There's a highway down below, and the pilot's guiding her straight for, oh no, there's a car down on the road, right in our path. We can't land without coming down smack dab on top of it, unless,"
and from behind the truck on the road, Johnny throws ahead a fireball, which blasts in front of the vehicle on the road to get its attention.
"Hey, Charlie, what the heck was that?"
"I don't know, looks like a ball of fire right in the middle of the road."
"Yeah, well, if somebody's playing tricks on Charlie, pull off the side road fast, as he looks out the window and sees the airplane coming down on top of him. Oh, why?
Never mind, just do it. I ain't got time to explain it to you, even if I thought you'd believe it.
And the pilots inside are doing everything they can to land the plane. One of the pilots says to the other, Joe, are we going to make it? The other pilot responds, no way to tell. The plane's been slowed down a lot, but we're still coming in too fast. If we hit the slightest curve in the road before we can brake... Just then, touchdown. But still, the giant aircraft streaks along at terrific speed, wind whistling, brakes screeching. Then the combination of brakes and a human parachute finally take hold, and the great wounded bird slows down to 200 miles per hour, to 100 miles per hour. The plane is still moving forward when, like the balloon, with all the air suddenly let out, the billowing human form behind it abruptly collapses. But only moments later, it comes to a complete halt. Reed, who is on the ground trying to recompose his stretching body, Johnny, who is no longer on flame, runs up behind him saying, Reed, are you okay? I did all I could. Reed says, you did fine, son, and yes, I think I'm as all right as I'll ever be. Now let's see about the others. Ben and Sue. Sue, honey, are you... And Reed stretches to the hole made by Johnny on the side of the plane and reaches for Sue. Sue says, I'm not hurt, darling, just so dizzy. Johnny out there with Reed says, you can relax now, sis, just relax. Ben is not looking very happy with himself, saying, I'm sorry, Reed, I wanted to do something to help, but I couldn't. You saved our hides 100 times, old buddy. Don't let it get you down. Sue, dearest, you were just great.
Oh, Reed, it was horrible. But you and Johnny were wonderful.
Johnny chimes in saying,
it was your and Reed's show all the way.
Sheesh, we're starting to sound like showbiz phonies.
Hey, heads up, people, because now I could be wrong, but it looks like we've got company.
Suddenly, at the landing site, United States Air Force helicopter comes down to greet them. And a soldier comes out and says, we were expecting 4, so when the trouble developed, we naturally... And Reed interrupts him saying, what about the other passengers? There are bound to be some injuries. Soldier says, ambulances and such are already on the way, sir. Now, if you don't mind, we've got a schedule to keep. And the 4 join him in the helicopter heading back to a base. Reed says to him, I'm not sure I like the preferential treatment, soldier. We're just 4 more passengers.
Not to the big brass, you're not. To them, you guys are VIPs, so you get special handling, whether you want it or not.
Within minutes, the craft descends into a strangely rectangular opening atop a nearby hill in some secret military base. And in the war room, Colonel Sellers is addressing the Fantastic Four with a big poster of the Hulk behind him and a map of the area that he's pointing to. The caption continues with, and that's when things start getting heavy. Pay attention now.
As you can see, we've charted the Hulk's movements in the Midwest for the past few weeks.
Impressive, Colonel Sellers.
Yeah, but I could do without the pinup of old Greenskin.
Johnny says, he speaks well of you too, Ben. Reed and the Colonel continue talking. Just remember the bargain I made with Washington, Colonel. If we can manage to change the Hulk back, Dr. Banner goes free to work with me.
I'll remember. See that you do, kid. I ain't got much love for the Hulk, but there's a man inside there somewhere, and I'm in a position to know.
Don't kid me, Mr. Grimm. I may be the youngest full colonel in charge of a major project, but with General T.E. Ross busy elsewhere at the moment, I'm still... Good Lord, that dot, it's him!
Suddenly a green dot shows up on his map.
He's in Sector 8 and moving this way fast!
Thus, as soon as the Fantastic Four learn where Sector 8 is...
I forget to ask, Stretch, what is this place anyhow?
Can't you guess, Ben? It's one of the underground fortresses to which the President and others might flee in case of nuclear war. It's built to withstand atomic attack.
but because his power has never been precisely measured, no one's quite certain if it can stand up to the Hulk. The four members of the team have entered a helicopter and are flying to where the Hulk has been spotted.
You know something, Rubber Man? I was just wondering the very same thing about us.
Sue says,
Reed, how did the military's grid detect the Hulk?
Reed responds, Gamma radiation, Sue. The Hulk evidently emits it at certain unpredictable times. And from what Colonel Sellers told us, he should be dead ahead.
So, Hulk should have known.
And the Hulk looks behind a rock as the helicopter approaches.
Even here, miles away from everyone, puny humans won't leave Hulk alone. Hulk was happy here. Empty place reminded Hulk of desert. But Hulk knows what will happen now. Ship will land. Men will get out. Men with guns to hunt Hulk. It's always the same. But maybe not this time.
And the Hulk, still hiding behind the rocks and trees, decides to rip up one of the trees out of the ground.
Maybe this time, Hulk will strike first.
And he hurls with all his might this entire tree, trunk, limbs, and everything, swoosh through the air, and boom, destroys the helicopter. And Thing goes, What the Sam Hill was that? Reed yells, Sue, are you? And Johnny, already flaming and flying, says, She's over here, leader man. You want me to? Reed interrupts him, saying, No, Johnny, I'll ease her down. And like he did with the aircraft, he grabs Sue's hands and makes himself a parachute. As she's being lowered safely to the ground, Sue says,
Oh, you men, it's Ben who needs help more than I do.
And Sue creates an invisible pole for him to slide down, like a fireman's pole. The Thing, grasping this invisible pole, slides down saying,
You ain't just whistling Dixie cups, lady. Hey, this invisible flagpole of yours is a new wrinkle.
We look at, from Johnny's perspective, down at the Hulk on the ground, saying to the team,
Stop patting each other on the backs, people, and heads down. There's the Hulk below at 12 o'clock, as they say.
And Hulk, looking up at the Human Torch, says,
Hulk doesn't know what time it is and doesn't care. Hulk just knows any time is good time to smash Flame Man.
So it would seem. And far be it from us to explain to the Hulk that his attacker stopped short in mid-flight so that only a fiery image collided with that great green fist. But the next instant, when a real flame blast strikes him from a different direction, we think even our jolly Jade Behemoth gets the general idea. Reed and the rest of the team surround the confused Hulk. You softened him up for us, Johnny, but don't get overconfident. Ben says,
Yeah, after all, it's only four against one. Reed, let me...
No, Ben.
And Johnny says,
Reed's right. Our only hope is to gang up on him.
Sue, I've got him. Throw a force field around his head to shut off his air supply.
Sue says,
It's done.
Reed continues, Good. Even the Hulk can't hold out for long if he can't breathe. And the Hulk, sweating and straining over the fact that he cannot breathe, Sue says,
It's working, Reed. I caught him while he was out of breath from Johnny's blast. But he's in such pain if it kills him.
Reed assures her, It won't, trust me. All right, Ben. I can't hold him much longer. Hit him.
Just like that. Like shooting fish in a blame barrel.
Ben, for God's sake, do it. Lack of air making him go wild. I can't hold him more than another few seconds. Hit him, Ben, hit him, now!
Yeah, okay. If I gotta, I gotta. But I'm making this short and sweet, especially short.
And he does a nice right cross across the front of his face as Sue dropped the force field. And the caption continues, There's no pleasure in the mighty Thing's roundhouse punch. No accompanying shout of clobbering time, just a businesslike blow as joylessly effective as a battering ram, and the Hulk goes down. Reed stretches his arm across Ben's back.
Good work, Ben. You were...
Ben interrupts him.
Reed, just get your hand off of me and shut up, okay?
Captions continue. There is silence on the brief return journey, and Ben Grimm stands strangely apart from his erstwhile comrades while the green-skinned giant is attached to a previously prepared frame, a frame somehow not unlike an altar. Here we have Colonel Sellers and the Fantastic Four and a bunch of soldiers in this hangar where they have all the aircraft. Reed is sitting down in a big chair with a device strapped around his head, his arms, and his waist, leading to this giant apparatus where the Hulk is standing in giant shackles that are restraining his feet and his hands and around his neck. And Reed, from his chair,
you'll see, Ben, if it works, you'll see it was all worth it. That's what I keep telling myself, boss man, or else I might be in the John, losing my lunch.
Colonel Sellers speaks up.
Richards, are you going to use that Siam gadget of yours, or are we waiting for the Hulk to die of old age? Why do you four have this sentiment about a monster who tried to kill you?
If I've got to tell you, you're never going to know. Besides, I've got to wait for him to start to revive so that my mind can meet his awaking one. Yeah, that ought to be a real fair fight.
Now look here, you. Wait! His eyes, they're opening! Now, Richards, now!
A dark-gloved hand hesitates a moment above the fateful button, and then it is pushed. Mental energy is turned into pure electrical fury, nor is the pain and anguish all one way. As back at the chair where Reed is sitting, strapped in, he is grimacing and making a very strained face. He's sweating profusely. A soldier mentions to his wife, Sue,
Mrs. Richards, the look of strain on your husband's face, will he?
Yes, look, she responds. There's no Hulk any longer, just Bruce Banner.
Can you see, Susie? Is he still breathing?
In becoming himself again, he's even slipped out of the Hulk-sized vices that held him.
Breathing or not, we're taking no chances. Men, attach the smaller shackles, the ones fitted especially for Banner's wrists.
The Hulk has now shrunk. He's no longer green. He's no longer muscle-bound. He's just plain Dr. Robert Bruce Banner. And Colonel Sellers is not taking any chances. Ben Grimm does not like this.
Hey, wait a minute. This ain't in the script, Buster. Reed had a deal with you guys.
And I'll keep it when I'm good and ready. There's nothing you can do about it, so let go.
There ain't, huh?
There are cries from Dr. Banner as he is still strapped to the device.
Help! Help me!
Ben, furious, exclaims,
like hell there ain't. When you're built like me and old Greenskin, you can always do this.
And he runs to the device holding Dr. Banner and starts tearing it apart. And the narration continues. Ben Grimm comprehends little of the intricacies of the Siam. Shattering thus, the machine can no longer store the stolen gamma energy. It can only be fed back into the body which spawned it. Till Bruce Banner's brief sojourn on this earth is ended and the Hulks begin anew. Dr. Banner turns back into the Hulk. And as he grows into his monstrous form, he has broken the shackles that were designed for Dr. Banner. Reed, pulling off his device from his head while still sitting in the chair, exclaims,
Good Lord, Ben, you don't realize what you've done.
Colonel Sellers,
unleash him. He's freed the Hulk.
Sue yells out,
Ben, you've got to find him again before he reaches full strength.
Johnny says,
She's right, Ben. The rest of us can't do it without you.
Correction, Junior. You can't do it at all, because I just figured it out. I've been on the wrong side all these years. The Hulk and me, you and the rest of humanity's had us at each other's throats when we should have been fighting on the same side. Right, Hulk?
Hulk? Not sure. But what Thing says makes sense to Hulk. Yes, You, me, we're alike. We belong together. We will fight together.
And the Hulk and the Thing, standing side by side, raise their fists at the remaining Fantastic Four and the soldiers. Thing yells out,
"You know it, buddy. Like Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboys, so keep out of our way, world, from now on."
And the lead into the next issue.
It's the Thing and the Hulk, side by side.
Like the man said. That has been Fantastic Four, number 166. My name is Douglas Dial. Thank you for listening.